let's get into our agenda. Madam Clerk, item number one.
Item number one, a resolution by Supervisor Wyshon providing for an advisory referendum on whether the United States Constitution should be amended to establish that only human beings, not corporations, are entitled to constitutional rights and money is not speech, and therefore regulating political contributions and spending is not equivalent to limiting political speech. This item will also come before the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit.
Let me look first to Supervisor Wyshon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'll move approval. And I think this is actually quite timely. Yeah, when you look at the recent political history in Wisconsin and the influence that large political contributions have had on the political landscape, and the public's right to know on who is providing those funds in the election process. Back in the last spring election, before a few of the recall elections, there was a similar referendum question on some of the municipalities in Milwaukee County. The one I'm most familiar with is my own municipality where I live in West Allis had it. This was, I would say, overwhelmingly supported by the citizens of West Allis at over 70% voting in favor of that corporations are not people and that we have the right to regulate campaign contributions. So I think it's important for our democracy and that we take a stand here as Milwaukee County, and I think the opportunity for the November presidential election will give us the greatest affordability of people to weigh in on the issue.
Okay. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask to be added as a co-sponsor to this resolution. And I think, you know, this is endorsing a notion that should have been evident to those who corrupted the democratic process with this kind of tortured definition in the first place. You know, measures need to be taken to correct this. I think I don't want to belabor what my colleague Supervisor Wyshon has indicated, but all of that, the corruption of money and politics, and particularly money that doesn't attach to an individual's but rather to a profit motive, I think is really a questionable approach, and how it ever evolved to this point is beyond me.
Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also would like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Very good. Supervisor Johnson.
And I too would like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Okay.
Clerk.
Good. Okay. Let me look to the audience. I know that there are some of you that are here for this item, which is wonderful. You're always welcome. I don't know if anybody would like to speak from the audience, but this would be your time. So, and if you are going to speak, if we could get you to fill one of those cards out for the minutes and records, we can go from there. So, state your name and welcome aboard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm Lawrence Hoffman, 1225 East Wright Street in Milwaukee. The president and secretary of the Southeast Wisconsin Move to Amend are Mary Lon and James Ito of 3302 North Raymond. They plan to speak this morning, but their flights from Seattle have been delayed. I'm a member of the organization. They've asked me to speak on their behalf. This resolution was precipitated by Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision that makes it increasingly expensive for any person to run for office unless he or she has the blessing of large corporate or union donors. In Citizens United, the Supreme Court treats corporations as though they have human rights. The court has been doing this more and more, piece by piece, since the late 19th century. It gave corporations protections equal to that of human beings under the 14th Amendment, putting local stores out of business when big chain stores forced their way in. It gave companies the right to refuse safety inspections under the Fourth Amendment's search and seizure provision that was meant for human beings, individual humans. And it gave the right to withhold the names of ingredients under the First Amendment. This amendment is pro-capitalism and it's pro-small business. What it's against is the abuse or miscarriage of capitalism by the largest corporations, in which the directors and executives parlay their economic power, their economic gain, into political power. In Citizens United, the court also said that speech and money are equivalent. So by that reasoning, the more money a person or a corporation has, the more they should be allowed to speak. The court got that wrong, and I think you'll agree, because speech isn't money. Speech happens to be a metaphor for money. Follow me on this. Of course you can say when you donate to a candidate that you and your money are speaking. But think about this. When you punch someone in the nose, you can say that you and your fist are speaking. So if you punch a candidate in the nose, shouldn't that be constitutionally protected speech? I don't think so. The surest way to stop the courts from making that kind of interpretation is to amend the Constitution to say that it's not allowed. The referendum that you're considering this morning offers an amendment that says, money is not speech, so regulating political contributions does not limit political speech. I'm almost to the end. To amend the Constitution, you have to get two-thirds of each House of Congress or two-thirds of the state legislatures. And that's just to propose the amendment. Then you have to have three-quarters of the legislatures to ratify it. But a lot has to happen before that official business, before it gets to the legislature or to Congress. All around the country, people have to try to organize local campaigns, as we've done in West Allis and in Milwaukee County. The group here decided to run an amendment up the flagpole in West Allis. Why West Allis? The amendment had succeeded, the referendum had succeeded in places like Madison and Boulder, Colorado. But we wanted to know whether it was going to fly in a city that's more typical, not a city that's a bastion of liberals. So when we went door to door in West Allis, we found some folks with Walker signs and some folks with recall signs on their lawns, and most of them, both kinds, Republicans and Democrats, were eager to vote for our amendment. In fact, the referendum passed 70% to 30%. So, in conclusion, it seems like the appropriate thing to do next is to take this to the whole county. Mr. Chairman, having placed this item on the agenda, you are asking the committee to vote, yes or no, to allow the county board, in turn, to vote yes or no in a couple of weeks on whether to give the people a chance to say yes or no on the idea of a constitutional amendment. Please don't lay this over. The odds are very lopsided against any constitutional amendment ever being passed. What we'd like your committee to do is to let the people take one step forward by allowing this referendum to go ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry. Any questions? We have other speakers, I believe. Yes, come on up.
Thank you.
Would it be okay if I stayed up here?
My name is Dale Nook, and I represent the Milwaukee County Democratic Party for the South Shore. They call it Region 4, and it includes Bayview and all the South Shore suburbs. I want to speak on behalf of my Democrats in the South Shore. The last couple elections, we saw more money coming into Wisconsin than from people in Wisconsin to affect issues for Wisconsin. And we don't even know where a lot of that money came from and what their purposes are. And we really feel strongly that at the very least we want to know where campaign contributions are coming from. And in the recent presidential election, as we gear up, sometimes one individual can give enough money to make up for almost half the country. And we also would like to know what that individual's intentions are and where he's going with his campaign contributions. So if we can at least limit contributions, at least we want some transparency, so we know where the money is coming from, and we can at least have some kind of accountability. So,
very good. Thank you. So, any questions for Mr. Nook? Okay. Thank you. Other speakers, please.
I'll make this short. My name is Marcia Vila, and I just wanted to put this thought in your mind, I hope, is that what happens with citizens and their representatives should be a relationship that's direct and uninterrupted by something in between it, like lots and lots of money. And once you interrupt that relationship, you do not have democracy. So I'm for no money in politics and for using our airwaves that the government owns and the people own, and instead of having all these commercials that just create a lot of dissonance, we're just going to hopefully do less of that. But this particular amendment will at least go back to the point where we limit what people give and we have some accountability about where it comes from.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bill. If I could get a card too?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, please.
Good morning. My name is Dan Folkman. I live in 2737 North Wheel Street in Milwaukee. And I just want to add my voice to those who are advocating that and asking that you do pass this motion and send it to the board, full board, that we have a referendum in November. If everyone has said so eloquently, the floodgate of money is just unbelievable. One example that really burns in my mind is I read in the newspaper a week or so ago, Adelson, the man who supported with $10 million and has pledged to spend as much as $100 million in this campaign. And the article is saying, well, what is $100 million to Mr. Adelman? And they gave the analogies, which I thought was really interesting. If you're a middle income person, a family with $66,000 a year, that'd be like buying a cell phone. So I'd really be willing to give my cell phone. So with that, I please ask you to pass this motion today, send it to the board, and look forward to giving the voice of Milwaukee County residents be able to say something about what this is doing to our democracy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Folkman. Any questions? Anybody else from our audience, please?
My name is Pete Zeflo, and I just want to add my voice to the others. By limiting the money in the elections, we can also make sure that we don't have any foreign influence in our elections, and I don't think anybody in this country wants foreign influence to affect elections. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zeflo.
My name is Donna Metzger, and I'm just going to add to the voices that were just speaking that I went around collecting signatures for the referendum in West Dallas, and I too, like you said, I talked to people who were pro-recall and pro-Walker, and we always agreed that there was far too much money in elections, and first and foremost, they said the money could be spent so much better somewhere else. We were talking about the $44 million that was spent in the congressional recalls last summer. $44 million, I believe it was. Everybody said, we could use that money so much wisely other places. So get the money out of elections, put it where we need it, and use it.
Thank you, Ms. Metzger. Okay. Anybody else from our audience? First of all, thank you all for participating. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to thank Larry Hoffman for giving me tons of information here. And I know you've worked so hard on this. There's a lot of people working very hard on this. And I certainly understand and sympathize, I guess, with things I've heard, all the money that was spent. That's oodles of money. I know it might be used somewhere else. These are decisions people make and corporations make to spend money, which is constitutionally protected right now. And that's the point, I guess. Two things. Number one is that advisory referendums, I've seen so many advisory referendums around this place. None have gone anywhere. I don't think I've ever voted for an advisory referendum. That's the main fact. And so I think I'll keep my record probably perfect on that today. Secondly, and I thought about this a lot, I appreciate all the information. I've read all this information. I like to think I know something about the Constitution. I really respect that. And what I respect is the legal process and decisions of the Supreme Court. Now, this decision here, the January 2010 Citizens versus Federal Election Commission, Supreme Court ruled that Congress cannot restrict corporate and union political campaign expenditures. We saw the worst of that in the state of Wisconsin this year. There's no question about that. Tens of millions of dollars. Right now, constitutionally protected. I think a lot of people can argue, and certainly people are arguing today, that this is a ruling that is so bad that the Supreme Court might reconsider. I think there will be pressure to reconsider this. Supreme Court has, and is really the only court that can reverse its own decisions. As was stated today, constitutional amendments, boy, that's a slippery slope. That takes a long time. It's a very, very difficult process. And I think we all appreciate that. I mean, there are 27 amendments in the Constitution. There's relevancy for me talking about this and explaining myself here today. Okay. Really, only 17 have been passed in the last 220 years. As everyone knows, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, came in 1791. And they were specifically written to limit the powers of the federal government. We all understand that. It was very much needed. Never would have passed unless this caveat was put in there. So I appreciate what people have been talking about today and limitations. But you know what? I step back a little bit and take a little, you know, when you talk about speech, and there's a constitutionally protected speech. All speech, which a lot of people, I think, misunderstand, is not protected by the Constitution of the United States. In a famous Supreme Court decision, it said, you know, my right to free speech stops at your nose. Free speech is not punching someone else in the nose. Okay, so let's not go there. All right? That's illegal speech. Okay, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, another Supreme Court case. All right? That's unconstitutional. That is not free speech. So, being a little bit, I don't know if I want to say purist, okay, but more of a strict constructionist, I guess, I think it's the court who has to make these kinds of decisions. I do believe that. I know in the materials and stuff, and like I say, I appreciate all this. I really do, and read a lot and thought about this with all the other things that are going on these days in our government, in particular local government, the things I'm involved with. It says, do we need an amendment to the United States Constitution? Well, if we don't, it's likely that it's never going to be overturned. It's going to take so long for years to come. Well, that's the way our system works. And grassroots do change. You know, the 18th and 21st Amendments are an example. 18th was prohibition. You know, a lot of amendments came in at the end of the war, the Civil War. We had 13, 14, 15, end of slavery, blah, blah, blah. After World War I, we had a bunch of amendments. One of them was prohibition, 18th. Well, didn't work, did it? Okay. Well, it was repealed by the Supreme Court. Was over a decade later. Okay, it was 1919 and 1933 to be exact. But that was the 21st Amendment to overturn the 18th Amendment. Supreme Court overruled itself. I'm not so sure that the court's not going to look at this. If it's a bad ruling, as so many of us think, the court will, you know, and to say that it's not going to happen, did Obamacare, did you think Justice Roberts was going to vote for Obamacare? You know, the court changes. The court will change again. We're going to have a new, I don't know if we have a new president. We have an incumbent running, of course. But the tendency is, I don't agree with the court. You know, it's not too young. I think there'll be some changes with the new presidency and maybe a new perspective and look at this. So my major point in not voting for this is about an advisory one. And number two, particularly, is I think this is an issue that is constitutionally based. It should go through the courts. Supreme Court will have to look at this. And all these precedent-setting decisions, the court has looked at these situations. Now, they made a ruling here. Maybe a lot of people don't like, you know, the 1972 ruling, you know, about abortion. That's on the books, okay? But that's the law of the land. We have to live with the law of the land until it's changed. And I understand the grassroots and everything else, but I think it's going to come back to the court. making decisions here, and I think the court has to make a decision. I guess that's my points. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am against plutocracy. I'm against government by the wealthy. My family is working class family, and we just did not have enough money, a lot of money to try to influence people. People that I grew up with and have come to get to know are people just like me. We're not trying to peddle influence by buying influence. We're just communicating among ourselves and trying to do what we can in order to live productive and fruitful lives. So I am going to be voting for this resolution so that this the language on the referendum could be presented to the electorate. This is an opportunity for them to weigh in, to at least register and just think about it, if not register the thoughts on paper as to what this is, because Citizens United, it rankles me. It's something that I will not be for, because again, I'm not for a government by the wealthy. The wealthy over centuries have done whatever they could to influence elections, by companies, by people, turn neighbors against each other, and I'm just against such an arrangement. So I will be voting for the resolution.
Thank you, Supervisor. Anybody else? Let me look to our research analyst, Ms. Collins. I know that you sent an updated fiscal note. Did you want to just share that in case committee members did not get that? I know that the first time you had said, I'll let you speak on that.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I did send an updated fiscal note, a substitute fiscal note earlier this week. Originally, we had worked with the Election Commission to get an estimate. Originally, they had estimated that the cost of a countywide referendum for the fall election would be $25,000. They took a closer look at it, and they revised it to just short of $19,000. So that was in your substitute fiscal note.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. We do have a motion for approval by Supervisor Weishan. If there is no further input, then Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Harris?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Mr. Chair?
No.
Four ayes, three noes.